Corner is proudly brought to you by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Namibia.
China Corner here on your number one talk radio station. Now, this is once again where we take a look every first Wednesday of the month and every last Wednesday of a specific month, and looking into the deep dive discussions which highlight the relations as well as also the embedded benefits and as well and relations between Namibians and their Chinese counterparts in various fields, specifically from what we've covered so far, the medical realm, specifically into language and culture. And now we take a look for this evening session into tertiary and skills development in that scenario. Now, we speak this evening to three members of the Association of Namibia China Alumni. These are Namibians who have studied in China. And this takes us back on a roadmap specifically from Namibians who've been actually, and we've actually have the privilege of talking to a Namibian specifically who was the very first representative of such a particular, student exchange program specifically, whereby a Namibian can study and be skilled with regards to the knowledge and the skills that Chinese universities have to offer to Namibians. On that note, dear listeners, we take a listen to three guests that we've got on this evening's show, and that specifically being Madam Paulina Shilunga, Loida Nambala, as well as also Grace Seponde. Stay tuned with Grace. She will be last, but all three of them are members of the same ANCA or ANCA, known as the Association of Namibia China Alumni. On that note, let's get into the discussion. And also for our discussion for the first week in April, for this session of China Corner for the month of April, as mentioned, we had the conversation with Grace, obviously she being based in at the coast, giving us the insight in terms of her experience, her career background, specifically where she finds herself for 2026, basically, but also how her experiences from studying in China had also given her the insights, the knowledge, the skills, as well as also the lifelong human connections that she's also developed. Now, partnering up this conversation, I'm joined by two other lovely guests. Obviously, you are here in studio with me. I'm joined by I don't want to say that they are sort of like... Well, in terms of a position, they might be more senior than Grace because Grace has a more junior role. But we've actually have one of the, can I call you guys the two, like two more senior members of ANCA in that regard, in relation to, Aloida, why are you shaking your head? Don't shake your head. but in that scenario, yeah, welcome guys. Welcome Paulina. Welcome, Aloida. If we can just start with the first introduction, just who are you guys? And primarily, what role specifically do you find yourself in today after finishing your studies in China? Coin toss, don't worry.
Thank you for the question. I am Loide Nambala, and I'm based in the Ministry of Health, and I've been within the ministry when I left for China. Mm-hmm. Currently, I'm working for the Department of Pharmaceutical Services within the Ministry of Health, and private secretary to the Director of Pharmaceutical.
100%. And you, Paulina?
I'm Paulina Shilunga. I'm working for the Ministry of Agriculture. I went to China when I was very young. So I, returning back to Namibia, I started working for the ministry, but I never changed my job. But of course, yes, I got promotional ranks in the ministry. Mm.
No, that's good. That's good, guys. And thank you for the introductions as well. Now, obviously, when we look at our discussion for primarily for this evening, this brings in a special focus primarily also what the alumni, meaning representatives from various Namibians that have had the opportunity of studying in China. And obviously, your experiences and also the particular trainings that you experienced in China while studying there. The next question for both of you guys, and specifically I think this is just for you, Paulina, if you can just give us a brief sort of like explain about who ANCA is. I know it's the Association for Namibia China Alumni.
Yes.
sort of like, what does that look like? How many members are you guys, if there is a rough estimate? And stuff like that, yeah.
I think at the beginning we were a few Namibians and it was very exciting, a few Namibians speaking Chinese.
Mm.
But I can tell you now we are way over 1,000 even Namibians who started in China.
Mm.
And the reason for us to start an association, we just wanted to also, you know, catch up, link up, because we come from different fields of study in China. And China being a big country, it's overwhelming with experience, with a lot of things. So we started the association, but it's primarily only for those who studied in China, at least from 1 year and longer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, obtaining qualification from any university. And it is a voluntary membership, which we... You can contribute 200 per year,
so mm-hmm.
just for us to come together, share ideas and other developmental issues.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, you know, when you always look back at specifically what the organization of ANCA, you know, tries to have that linkages between the Namibians that have had the opportunity studying in China, it's always good to see sort of like the knowledge. And primarily, I'm going to tap into that a little bit. Just, you know, if we look at the base, because you highlighted, you know, that this could be well over 1,000 Namibians. This obviously just speaks to more positives, because Namibians are obviously reaping a benefit in this regard.
Oh, very much. Yes, very much. And I think that is the dynamic about it. 100%,
100%. If we move into the next question, guys, now we've got the discussion obviously about your experiences. You know, I know, don't worry, Paulina, but you know, just tapping into your memory bases. If you look at the experience in terms of studying in China, I mean, what, was that your first time ever?
Yeah.
Or, and also the second scenario was, which city were you based in?
That was my first time ever, and I did my first year in Beijing, Beijing Language Institute by then, and quite interesting, I was the only African in my class, so I had to push and study hard so that I'm able to communicate with all the other who could not also speak, which was really good for me because none of them could speak
Mandarin,
good English, neither me who could speak good Mandarin. That's what really make the whole effort good, and I think I just appreciated it. Was quite a different experience for me coming from Namibia, which was very warm, and I arrived almost close to winter. So yes, at one point I was really like homesick. I didn't want to go to class just because of cold.
No, that I know the not just the climatic change but also the cultural changes.
Cultural change, everything else. But it was fantastic for me because that was my first experience.
Yep.
Far away from Africa.
And also for you, Loida, what was your city that you were based in?
In
your first time?
It was actually my first time in China, and my city was Beijing.
Mm.
Of course, the capital city.
I mean, there's a lot of Beijing, you know, Beijing alumni. Yeah.
Yes. So my expression about China was, I was like, wow. I loved my campus so much.
Mm.
So every other time I took my bicycle and... And for a fact, I didn't know how to ride a bicycle. I had to learn how to ride a bicycle there because that was the most cheapest mode of transport.
Mm.
So I learned how to ride a bicycle. So every other time I go around my campus to visit and see the different
sites.
Different sites.
Yeah. No, that's
good. Yes, my impression about the Chinese people is that they are time-oriented. Knowing they tell you that it's 6 o'clock.
Mm.
And ends at 7 o'clock. You better be there, otherwise you'll find them gone.
Not this thing of Namibian time that we have to see.
Not this thing of African time that we have.
You're even going with African time. I'm saying Namibian time because yes, Namibians, yes.
So,
and in your side, Paulina, specifically the impression of the culture.
Yeah, for sure, they're very punctual. That I must appreciate, and the work is done on time, finish on time. It doesn't matter how much work it needs to be.
Even the assignments, guys.
Yes, even the assignment. I remember me sleeping up to staying up to 1 o'clock midnight because I needed to do a lot and I couldn't speak Chinese, so I needed to catch up. So I have to go. My latest hour was almost midnight, 1 a.m. in the morning. But yeah, that it just disciplined me, taught me a different discipline actually.
It's I think, like Ms. Paulina said, it's discipline, because you would find that you have an assignment and they'll tell you they require a certain number of words. So, and the system locks at a certain hour, midnight. Yes. So I would always be the last one to make sure. 0059 I submit. Whatever it is, I submit. So I can have another chance to redo if I have to redo.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And then obviously, if we also look into in our next question, which has us looking into the experience at each university, can I assume that you guys, that there are various different universities that you guys were based there? So what was your experience specifically? I mean, I'm talking now about the courses, what you studied, and the training and knowledge that you acquired.
Well, for me, I did agronomy, which is soil chemistry and plant science. Quite a lot to cover, but that was very interesting. Well, as my colleague also alluded earlier, punctuality is very important in China, and I must say I was very impressed because there is no second China, a second chance in China. If you fail this thing before you carry
subjects
to the next,
yeah.
You study hard, you work hard, you make sure everything is, because they make it so much that you are able to make it up to what you are required to do. So I only spent 1 year in Beijing for the language. Then I traveled to the south, far south, near Shanghai. My university is Hangzhou.
All right.
University. So I was in the south, so no more
in Beijing.
But quite interesting. It's one of the beautiful, beautiful cities.
So you're actually carrying two hats right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And your side, Loida?
My university is Tsinghua University. I would say the most prestigious university in China.
Are you not busy bragging, all right?
Yeah, I always brag about it.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and the course I studied was a master's in international development, and it taught me a lot, how the international organizations work, how a public institution is supposed to work. So, in short, I can say I'm meant to serve the public. That's what it prepared me. So it prepared it to say that you need to be punctual, honest, and professionalism. That's one thing they also carry. Yes. So what was the other thing?
The other thing was now also, okay, you already highlighted the training and knowledge, both of you, specifically what you guys could extract from what you've learned in your time studying there. But from that question, we move into the particular question of when you look at back at your time there specifically, how are you specifically applying these skills and knowledges, knowledge bases or items that you've picked up while studying? Or technically what you've learned from your course, you know, because that's the ultimate thing, knowledge transference.
I think in my own experience, I didn't fall back because I was very much into agriculture, and my first job, I joined agriculture. A lot of trainings, a lot of preparations for the field. So I was actually between the field and the office. I made sure, I think China just prepared me, especially when it comes to timing and what to give, that I came back really prepared. And I could see also it didn't take me long that I was already flowing to a lot of activities that I was assigned to me. But also remember Namibian government, when you are employed, you have got what they call any other job that is assigned to you. Beyond that, so but I was able to pick up because I was already prepared for.
So it's an adaptability function.
For adaptability for 5 years, that was enough for me to really not have quite a lot of challenge that I will feel I will not fulfill.
Your side, Loida?
I always miss the question.
In terms of just how you apply what you studied, because you highlighted some of the good things of international development. So what are you seeing that you're currently applying in Namibia?
Currently, I can't say I'm in exactly what I studied, but at the end, it's a public institution serving the people. I would say that professionalism and always empathetic, like those, that's the Chinese people. They're always willing to help. Yes, so I think in what I can get from there, I got the punctuality, which sometimes really gets to me. Yes, that I had to learn the hard way while in China, because you find class out.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. If you are late,
they lock you out?
Or you get locked? They lock you out. You find like the class is already ahead.
The Laosha doesn't sort of like catch you back up.
No, like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
They say 6 o'clock.
Present or absent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you get marked present or absent.
Yes, you sign.
If you are in the chair,
attendance.
You are present. If you're not in that.
If you're standing in the door,
you're absent.
Hey, the professors are harsh. The professors are harsh.
The other skill I learned was how to communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am such an aggressive person. Mm. So whatever you say, I would come back as defensive.
Mm.
Like I learned that, because every other time you are presenting, whatever it is, your assignment, you must have a presentation to present.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's about communicating ideas.
Communicating ideas.
Yeah.
And being hardworking. I think they taught me hard work, because they give you so much work. You know, as a student coming from all the way from Namibia to Asia, I would want to explore the beauty, see the things. So now I had to balance between exploring and school.
So it's leisure and work.
Leisure and work.
Yeah.
So I think studying in China, you need to be committed, because they believe they know why you are there.
Mm.
Yes.
So don't waste time.
No,
you deliver on your schoolwork. You are asked to write the assignment that is 20 pages.
Mm.
You must submit it in order and covering the topic at hand.
And both of these are good insights, because it ultimately shows how that knowledge, how that skills actually get transferred into where you guys find yourselves today.
Yeah.
If we move on to our next talking point, which is... how did you guys get to China? You know, that was always the first point. You know, how did you hear about the opportunity?
Wow, for me it was very interesting. Though I was actually into looking for scholarship, and I just bumped into this Chinese scholarship, but that was a lot to fulfill.
Mm.
Paperwork, exams, and you know, it was quite a lot of preparation, but eventually I got accepted. But for me, I was the first Namibian actually after independence to go to China. And how I get to know the scholarship is because it was widely announced, because it was a present to the founding president.
No, that's good.
It was a present on his birthday.
Yeah.
Chinese People's Republic of China giving a birthday present.
So we're actually Eagle FM, we're honored to have you here. Thank you, Paulina. Thank you.
So yes, I would always brag and say that I'm the oldest student, so they should actually respect me because I'm the ambassador.
100%. And on your side, Loida?
You know, when you speak of scholarships to China, I applied 5 times. 5 different years.
Mm.
The first year I applied, I think I was 28 or 26.
Mm.
I got rejected because I haven't met the requirements. And I wasn't just applying to any ordinary university.
Mm.
It's either I looked at Peking University, which is like Harvard, or Tsinghua University, which is like that, also Harvard.
Mm.
So every other time I applied, I didn't get school, but the embassy always called me for an interview.
Mm.
And they would tell me, you know, look, these universities haven't accepted you, so try applying here.
Mm.
So it was, as Paulina has indicated, the requirements, you have to meet the requirements. So the second time I applied, I didn't hear nothing.
Mm.
Fourth time I applied, I was called at the embassy again. Got the scholarship, didn't get university.
Mm.
I didn't apply to the universities. I don't know how. And I was like, no, one way or the other, I'm definitely going to make it to China. So the fifth time I applied, I was accepted at the university. This university, I can't remember, it was a master's in business administration.
Mm.
I get to the embassy. The embassy is like, you received an email, but you didn't respond on time. I missed the chance. The sixth time I applied, I made sure. It was during COVID.
Mm.
So I was interviewed online. And I was informed before, that was 2022.
Mm.
I was informed that you must have stable connection and all that. So I had prepared. When I tell you I had prepared, I made sure I had data. I was seated in front of the computer exactly the time they told me.
Mm.
So yeah, I attended the interview. I passed the interview. Then I received, I think from the embassy, I received an email. I passed the interview. But then they were like, you got the scholarship, but however, the university still has the final say.
Mm.
So then my university, my Harvard, Tsinghua, had set up an online interview. This interview, you were to like have your camera open.
Yeah.
And they send a question paper and you have to type. It's not handwritten. You have to type it.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Because I'm not good at typing.
Mm.
I'm not fast. So the question came over and we had invigilators online just looking at you as you, because your eyes are not supposed to be moving around, you need to answer those questions.
So it's to make sure that you're keeping everything proper, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So I typed some questions that spoke of international relations, international economy and everything and on technology. Luckily, I had prepared well enough. So I was the successful candidate because we were a lot. We were all over Africa, the whole of Africa and half of Asian countries also, I think, have the luxury to apply for the scholarships.
Mm.
So I managed, I submitted on time. And within 2 weeks, I was added on WeChat in a Tsinghua international student group. That's when I knew I'm through.
Hey.
And I was excited.
Mm-hmm. No, congrats, congrats, guys, congrats.
Thank you.
And obviously, when we, you know, when we look at this, these opportunities in terms of how you guys got to apply, it's the same also for Grace when she shared the similarity, because in her scenario, she was actually referred and she was the only student from her cadre, meaning her class, that actually applied. The other students didn't, you know, they didn't care. But if we look at these varying, you know, experiences that you guys have had and specifically how you guys got to study, the next particular question actually cements this particular, you know, this connection, this China Namibia and the China Africa people to people year of people to people exchanges. Now, that's the theme for this year, the people to people exchanges. What are your thoughts specifically on the cooperation between China and Namibia in the areas of people-to-people exchanges, which technically were Namibians like you? And also, if we look at the how these exchanges also, you know, facilitate vocational training, educational cooperation, and so on.
I think for me, China has a lot to offer. That's one a great opportunity that people should not even play around.
They shouldn't even doubt it.
Yes, you shouldn't even doubt it, because I can tell you from my own experience, there was a lot that I learned, not only in the classroom, but there's a lot. If it comes to skills, to be honest with you, it's one country that is very efficient with skills. Of course, me being passionate about agriculture, so they even have, you know, the smallest tools of a garden that you can think of, made by a group of people or anything. You know, I like the way they share their work also. They are not competitors, but they are imprimaturs of one another. So
it's more like a cooperative mentality. Cooperate in the same...
Yes, but aiming the same thing and not being competitive among themselves, each one assigned to what they need to do so that they are able to complement the next person. I was very fascinated. I remember even when my practical has to fail because I had to plant and there comes a flood. Everything else was washed away, but I could see my professor was really with me saying, no, you make it. If you have already made it that far, just plan. What is your next step? So what I appreciate about the Chinese, even from their childhood, they don't really train you to do everything for you, but they give you opportunity to figure it out yourself and then do it yourself and feel confidence that, yes, really it is.
It's not trial and error, but it's more like explore, find out, expand your knowledge base. Well, that's good. That's good. Your side, Loida?
Yeah, I always miss the question.
No, don't worry. It's 100%. Since we've got this year of 2026 is the year of, and it's a theme between China and Africa, the people-to-people exchanges. Now, when you look into this specific direct relationship, Namibia and China, in that regard. What are your thoughts on the cooperation between the two countries in the areas of people-to-people exchanges, vocational training, educational cooperation, and more?
The Republic of China.
Your bank would never scare or tempt you to act fast. If it sounds too urgent or too good, call 0612991200. Bank Windhoek, a member of Capricorn Group.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
The Republic of China. They always have the scholar. How I got to China, actually, they always have a scholarship for the public servants. Yes. So through this, it's already a sign that they are willing to elevate our skills. Yes. They as Ms. Paulina said, they are kind, they guide you through it. So this takes me back to my thesis with my supervisor. As much as we couldn't understand one another, but he was one of the trusted ones that could communicate efficiently in English, you could see he's guiding in a sense that he wants you to do it your own, on your own. He wants you to understand your topic, like what you want to find out at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not a way of do this, do that. He's just guiding you step by step until there is such time that you have accomplished your thesis and you are able to defend it, because we do thesis defense.
You're
able to defend it.
Which was the presentation part you mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you have to stand in front of the professors, five or six of them, and you have to defend it. They have to question you left, right. So the people, the collaboration between China and Namibia, they are sponsoring in all sectors. You look at agricultural, they are in. You look at education, they are in. They are trying to give skills in every way possible to the Namibian people, which is a really good thing. And when you go to China on this scholarship, you are treated like you are some ambassador or president where you come from. You are respected, you are driven, you are taken everywhere, you are exploring. So their hospitality, it's on another level. It's really very well. That's why when we go out there, I think we are the ambassadors to Namibia.
I hope you guys were. I hope you guys were. Okay, you were the number one.
Because they you are, like, they respect where you come from, because you are on a bilateral. I went with a bilateral scholarship. So they treat you on another level. They respect you, irregardless where you come from, what position you have. As long as you are on that bilateral scholarship, you are very much respected and taken to every corner of China to explore, to see, and to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Well, which was obviously one of the particular ultimate goals that you can see, because even in the people-to-people exchanges, you know, it's about the capacity development. It's about sharing, also not just the cultural experiences, but building a lot closer a tie from there. Yeah. Now, in our next question, it's not our final question, but our second last one. It has to split up a little bit. One for you, Loida. It's a different question for you as well. But when we look at the aspect in terms of where Chinese President Xi Jinping, he explained that the principle of China's African policy is based on sincerity, real results, amity, and good faith. In this particular uncertain world that we currently find ourselves in, obviously, you know, things 2026 started on with a lot of bangs, literal, probably figurative. But if we look at the uncertainty that's currently reigning right now, compared with other countries, what do you think of China's cooperation in Namibia currently, in, you know, the world of uncertainty out there?
Why am I failing to get...
You are the international relations person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just go in again?
Okay, so if you look at the uncertainty, you know, what the world is looking like currently today. Conflicts aside, but also, you know, how countries are trying to get their own industrial pathways. But if you look at where the relationship between China and Namibia are today, the cooperation that's taking place, it's based upon the sincerity, it's based upon the aspect of human development, most definitely, and other particular aspects also of acting in good faith. How do you analyze the relationship as in 2026?
The relationship of China with Namibia.
Yeah, and that cooperation that exists already there. Well, I can answer, but you know, I'm the interviewer, guys. So you can, Madam Ambassador. Yes.
Actually, to be honest with you, I have not only been to China, but I have been to a lot, quite a number of countries in the world.
Mm.
But when it comes to peace, stability, in China, I think you can walk up any time in China, walk wherever you want to go.
Exactly.
That is the peace. Nothing will happen to you. You are safe. And I mean, to be honest with you, that's one key thing that I'll tell you, because everybody wants to be secure.
Mm. Is it perhaps something, Paulina, that we can also adapt in a Namibian context, peaceful societies?
Oh, yes. If we have quite a number of Chinese population here, why not from them?
Mm.
I mean, I'm just saying one thing that we can learn from the Chinese is peace, security. You are guaranteed, you are assured you can walk up any time of the night. You walk, I used to go even, you know, to go and have what we call midnight snack without even having any fear that anything will happen to me.
Mm.
And I think also caring for one another. Everybody is caring about your well-being. I mean, these are the key that I could really pick from the
Chinese. Yeah.
They care for one another. They help one another. So why would we want to do anything to jeopardize the other person's security or suffering or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, for you, Lloyd, there's actually an expansion to that question, the international cooperation. If we look at the 17th Chinese medical team that had just arrived at Namibia, the first doctors obviously arrived in 1996, and China has also dispatched a total of 68 medical teams. So you have to view it under that particular cooperation sort of like setup. And they've dispatched 68 medical teams to Namibia for 30 consecutive years. How do you view that cooperation and the relationship, the ties that Namibia and China have developed so deeply?
I think that cements Namibia-China relationship. Because here now, going back, way back, as you say, the doctors that have arrived, we lacked that skills. We lacked those skills in Namibia. And these are people that came to rescue us. These are people that came to transfer skills to the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Just currently, as we speak, we have a Chinese acupuncture clinic.
Yeah, I interviewed them, yeah.
In Katutura Hospital.
Yeah.
So I think this is a sense of caring, as Mepaulina is saying. They saw that this country lacks or doesn't have efficient people within these skills, so they came to the aid. They came to save. They came to save lives. They came to
transfer knowledge.
Yeah. They came to. These people came and they didn't ask anything from the Namibian government.
Mm.
So this, you can already see sense of humanity.
Mm.
That they carry within them.
And it sort of like answers the good faith component as well.
Yes, and I think it's a trust. It's a relationship that comes long way. Because when I went to China, we visited the Namibian embassy, and Tate Kayama was the ambassador. He gave us the history of how China-Namibia relationship came about. And it says quite a lot. We have been each other's friend. We carried one another throughout. So I think that should continue. We should be empathetic to one another. We should care for one another. And this, the moment you can care for someone else, that's already a sense of trust.
Yeah. Yes. And obviously that is what, you know, if you look at international relations between countries, usually it's the points of contact are between the people.
Yes.
The people have to interact at one stage with each other. Our final question, guys, and obviously if we've looked at this exciting discussion that we've had here, obviously I've just been extracting from you because it's your lived experiences. But if you wish to, you know, add anything else for the listeners or something that I might not have asked or forgot to ask that you guys still would like to share regarding your experiences in China, how you felt about your time in China, and so on. And even, yes, one last question. Do you guys still keep in contact with the friends, the yes. connections you made that back
yes.
there?
Yes. I actually, in my case, I even had a family.
Mm.
So it all started with one of the friends. I don't know if you know how we met with a friend.
Mm.
And we hooked up. Later, we went to visit the parents. That was the history. So we started also being the children of that family.
Mm.
And she was the only girl in the family. So every holiday, we'd be hooking around together to go for holiday, to the point where we didn't care whether she was around or not. We'd go to her parents.
Mm.
Yes. And they are so very simple. They are both late now. But yes, we still keep in touch and we call each other and laugh about everything else. And yeah, China actually, to learn Mandarin, of course, is a lot.
Mm.
You need to put up. But I think for me, it is a place for the preparation for any other person who is really interested, because there are things that you wouldn't take for granted in China.
Mm.
So I would really recommend for those who have got a chance still to go back if they want to study. Of course, for me, I want to go in. To study, they can always go. Yes, my children, I have no children. They are very much interested to go and see China. But it's all the things that I always tell them about China, and how they also see me doing things. And how did you learn all that? I said, oh, it comes way back from China.
So yeah.
I have to do things on my own. I have to be sure that what I do is correct. And yeah, I think students should still take up that opportunity when it comes their way to go and study.
Yeah.
Or even work or exchange.
Mm.
So anything is possible.
100%. Your side, Loida?
I always tell people when they hear that there's an opportunity to go to China, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. Wake me up.
Mm.
So I'm part of that
opportunity. Yeah, but you want to go.
Yeah. So I have learned so much and I've experienced so much, which I wish we could bring back home. The first thing is the safety that Mepolina has said. Every other time we're out with my friends, having few drinks, sharing stories and all that, it's so much safe. No one would do nothing to you. Any time of the night, you could walk back to the dorm and nothing will happen to you.
Yeah.
Yes. That's one thing. The other thing also, I think you need to speak Mandarin, Chinese, for you to interact more with the Chinese students. These students are sometimes a little bit shy because they are not confident in English. So if you are good in Mandarin, you really go a long way in China. Yes, because then, or if you try to approach them and speak English, like that, you boost their confidence. They now like feel like I can speak English. So, yes. The other thing is, you know, it's when you get to China, it's opportunity for everything. It's opportunity to study, to grow in your career, and also there's opportunity for business. Anything, you choose which side you want. You want both, or you want one. It's anything, the one that you can.
But either option still leaves you with a benefit.
It still leaves you able to sustain yourself. And live in China. Like the other thing, also food is very cheap in China. With the 10 yuan, I can eat lunch.
I know.
Which is 20 Namibian dollars.
It's about 20. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get kola and rice or noodles, and I'm.
The one thing I loved is always that it's fresh.
Yes, it's
if it's fresh. Here and back in Namibia, you've got to deal with
this. Ask me who is coming from the agriculture university.
Yeah, they have vegetables.
Yeah, I know, it's fresh. And I'm surprised. Everywhere I went, it's fresh food.
Let me tell you one thing that really surprised me. I was always wondering the first time when I arrived, especially at my university. Early in the morning, you can see vegetable with soil covered on it. Then you start wondering, but why are you not washing it? No, we just harvested it now. That's only for lunch. Go again at 16 hours, you find again it's fresh from the soil. So there is really one thing that I also appreciate. They don't have a lot of frozen food. Fresh as
or like these, or these agro-processed foods that we see a lot.
It is plenty and it is reasonable price.
They I say to someone out there to say, if you get an opportunity to go to the Republic, the Republic of China.
People's Republic of China.
Don't walk, run. Mm. If the opportunity presents itself, run, because you are going to experience, you are going to explore, and you are going to grow as a person in whatever it is that you want to be. Mm. Be it you want career or economist or business or the language, you are going to thrive.
Egameno jomau yerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kathi wapa uteknika, oliriwa omkundu wapa shigwana, upsa kathi wapaliko, no hashivuru oku ya moshipara uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshinimo mtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvoma wa vigaje miongo mbali na khamano. Iikondo epangero mahangano wapa umwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete. Tekero, esikuwa minongo mbali na gali siku mbali na ganega apiriri mao vigali minongo mbali na hamano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge movenduka, oshi parashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga uko shoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin, kena una oku ironge kithira oma shongo oko marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na irwe inji koneka, oma hangano o handimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu maa akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano, otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugu mwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo yom tumba ogo tungoka otaku kakarao VIP cyber gala dina nuyere lounji wa maisha angitho no mapura apuro kwa tatha na nayo konoraje tatu imwe onda tuyatano omgo igeali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na. Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Which you are going to thrive. I love the fact that when they see a black person, sorry to say black, but speaking
no, it's 100%, yeah.
Speaking Mandarin, they are always interested. How did you learn it? Where do you, they can even offer you food for free.
Yeah.
They will be interested in speaking to you. So that's why I have my Laoshi on WeChat, and I'm learning my Chinese. And comes June, summertime, I'm in China.
Summertime for them, real listeners. Yeah. Summertime for in China.
Summertime in China.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
100%, 100%. Yes. On that note, guys, I'd like to thank you once again. Paulina, thank you once again for being the ambassador. First ever Namibian. I'm actually proud to have you here. And you as well, Loida, thank you once again for sharing your experiences, guys. And also just how even Anka is also maintaining the relationship between Namibia and China on that note. Thank you once again.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I must mention also, thank you very much, really, because our relationship for us to really start, Anka, it didn't start here. Even while we were in China, we still had that small community of Namibian students studying in China. So that also created a lot of opportunity for us to visit each other. So we got to know a lot of Chinese stuff. I'm really grateful, but thank you very much for having me.
100%, guys. On that note, we end our discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next up, we have the same discussion with Grace Seponde, who highlights her particular experiences as well as also how she found the discussion of studying and traveling specific to another country in terms of pursuing higher education. And welcoming you, dear listeners, to another edition of China Corner here for the April edition. And as we've all obviously cleared the first 3 months of the new year of 2026, we look into another exciting conversation. Primarily this time, we get into a alumni discussion, or some people might say alumni, some might say alumni, depending on this, on the expression or of the pronunciation. It's a discussion that has a almost an anchor, if we can call it an anchor, in cultural exchange as well as also knowledge sharing between Namibia and China. For tonight's session, we're talking to various members of such a particular association, the Association of Namibia China, the Association for Namibia China Alumni, Anka. And one of the first speakers we've got lined up, we've actually got three speakers. One of them is Madam Grace Seponde, who is talking to me here, obviously through the use of technology, but obviously we have the opportunity of sort of like having this insightful discussion with her. Grace, good evening, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners for this evening's China Corner.
Good evening. How are you, Dwight?
I'm 100%, Grace, I'm 100%. And obviously, since you're based at the coast, you know, I can only assume the weather is always nice there. That's sometimes why the coast feels like it's detached from the rest of Namibia.
No, it's actually been the opposite lately. It's been very hot, but we are going back to our original weather, very cool, very refreshing weather.
100%. Grace, obviously, you know, we're having this insightful talk here for this Wednesday evening. And just for our listeners to try and get an understanding about Anka, obviously, your other two members of the association, of the alumni, will obviously give us a little bit of an explanation. But just your part, as an introduction specifically, who are you? Who are we talking to? And primarily, you know, what do you do in your profession?
All right, I'm Grace Seponde, as you've introduced. I studied in China for 5 years in total. I studied the Chinese language for a year, and then I studied my major, which was international economics and trade. Right now, I am in a sales and operations management role for a Chinese company. So that's what I do professionally now.
And if I take the liberty, Grace, for how long have you been working? Just to look at the time frame in terms of, you know, you transitioning from study to obviously your professional career.
Officially, I would have been working in this role roughly 10 to 11 months.
That's good. Yeah. That's very good. As we obviously look into our further conversation for today, specifically starting off with experience in terms of studying in China, and I've had this previous discussion with people from the Confucius Center, but that was sort of like a short-term exchange program. You are more like a long-term exchange program. How was your experience primarily, and you know, what did you highlighted already what you studied for, but can you just give us that little bit of a deeper insight in terms of how was your experience while studying?
My experience was, I'll have to find like a shorter way to put this, because I could write a book.
No, you can do it. You can do it. That's the reason why we're having this talk.
I would say it was interesting, I guess, because I approached it with a lot of excitement, and that's exactly what it was, eye-opening to be there. But initial experience when I was doing my language, so my first year, there was a lot of cultural shock, the language difference, and everything is just very different, and I had to adapt. The food is different, the people are different, everything was just very different, but it was overly eye-opening, exciting. Besides the low times, most of it was, I look back and I'm really just seeing how every bit of experience over that site has shaped who I am today. Yeah.
Well, that was very summarized, Grace. besides, obviously, the deep experiences that you had. If we look at sort of like your time there, was it your first time in China?
Yes, it was my very first time in China.
Mm-hmm. And also, if we look at where you were based, which city and province were you based in? And obviously, besides the cultural differences that you highlighted a little bit earlier, what was the biggest impression that you had? Let's make that question two parts. The biggest impression when your first time, and when you had to leave. Because obviously there's a little bit of a sadness that happens when having to depart.
Yes, I was based in Beijing. I was in the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So being the capital, there's a lot of exposure to a lot of other things, a lot of new things, a lot of the development. Although I would have loved to be based in a different city, in a less popular city, because I felt that's where I would have learned the real culture of Chinese people. But it was good. Yes, the start was tough, having to pick up everything, adapt. It was difficult in the beginning, especially because you don't know the language and you cannot communicate anything across. So that was hard, but after a year, 2-3 years, then the fourth, then the fifth, and I had to leave. It was emotional because aside from all the convenience that you are exposed to, you know, the friends you make, the family you create, and just the lifestyle that you develop there, it's kind of hard to detach from that. Because now you start to compare. There's a comparison when you're leaving Namibia to China, and then a comparison when you're leaving China to Namibia. When you're leaving, you're like, it's nothing like home. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And then you get there, you're there, hands on deck, you start to adapt, and life is good. You forget, you know, there's no more homesickness. But then this becomes your new identity, sort of. So now to come back, it's like you forget the before China, and now you have to, you know, sort of reverse your mind, like, okay, we're going back to that life, but what is that life? So there was a lot of emotions to detach from that, to come and readapt. You almost seem like you almost feel like you're a foreigner again.
Specifically now back in Namibia. Grace, you know, I'm sorry for sort of like asking you the particular question on, you know, having to come back, transition back into Namibia. And it's usually a scenario, you know, being away for so long, the 5 years discussion. Do you still stay in touch with friends, colleagues, lecturers back that side in terms of just, you know, checking up and say hi, guys? Because it's friends that you made. It's a connection that you had.
Yes, I do. It's always nice to see how we've all, you know, grown, we've developed, and we are sort of now applying that new identity back at home. You know, it's also fun to look at, like, hey, I have a friend from Congo, I have a friend from the States, I have a friend from all over the world. So we do, I do reach out to them, they reach out to me, we keep in touch with the friends that we've made. Sometimes it's not like some friendships have broken per se, but everybody's busy. When we do get time to catch up, we catch up. When we don't, we still keep each other in mind, knowing that, oh, I know there's a Grace in Namibia. The day I decide to go to Namibia, I'll just hit her up and say, I'm in Namibia now.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. Moving on to the next question, Grace. Obviously, you know, you highlighted already some of the experiences, specifically having to adjust, having to, you know, to learn firstly the language and then also various other components associated to living in another country. But if we talk about university life, because university life has its own particular sort of like experience. Okay, firstly, you highlighted the course name at the start, but once again, just for the listeners, what courses did you study? Specifically being in Beijing, and, you know, looking at the training and the knowledge that you acquired, you know, what insights did you get from the particular training and degree? Can I say it's a degree, because you said 5 years, right? Is that a safe assumption?
It was a bachelor's degree. Could you repeat that question?
Was it a 5 year degree, or was it a 4 year degree? Just to be honest,
it was a four-year degree, but I had to do 1 year of the language.
That's the first year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you please repeat the question?
Just your experience at university. You know, experiencing university life specifically in Beijing.
Okay. So I'll start with my language here.
Mm.
It was like everything was so new. And the thing is, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know one Namibian when I went there. So everything was like just being thrown into the jungle and they're like, you know, adapt.
Mm.
So from... Actually, this is a very hilarious story because on my first day, I already got lost. I got lost from the airport. So I started to make friends from there on. That was my experience. Luckily, I found somebody.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
And that was my experience. Luckily, I found somebody.
Mm.
In my getting lost, I found somebody who was from that university. And she was sort of like my walking stick for like a week or two until I was on my feet.
Mm.
So the university experience was very interesting, I'd say.
Mm.
That I had to adapt to the food. On the first day, I thought, oh, there's McDonald's. Okay, that sounds familiar. But even McDonald's taste is different.
Mm.
So then you reach the cafeteria and the chicken, okay, this looks like chicken, but it doesn't taste like anything you've eaten before. So there was that, and then there was the living conditions. I think I really liked my first school. The living conditions were really... really nice. So it was very accommodating. It made us feel good. You know, you don't really miss home so much because they treated us well. They put international students really at the core and they just want to make sure you are fine. They assist you with everything that you need. There's like a whole international students office.
Mm.
If you have any problem, any issue, you are not okay with your living conditions, you can make a complaint. They will see how they can fix that. And the hostel matrons were also very, very helpful and they assisted us with everything. Except the downside to my first year was that COVID started.
No, so you were unfortunately one of, you know, the various Namibians that were stuck in other countries.
Yes, so I had like a few months to experience the good, free, before COVID life of China, and then the COVID, and then the post-COVID. So I experienced all three.
All right.
All three phases. My second university, I moved there when it was still during COVID time, so I don't know what it was like to be in that university before COVID, but even during COVID, when I talk to some of the friends from my previous university, they'd say like your school is one of the best because they were not as strict or, you know, people didn't really feel that bad during that time. They were very lenient, they were caring during that time. So in my second university, it was fine. And post-COVID, it was also still okay. I think to say the least, all three phases have their own experiences and how they make me feel.
Because it shows a very interesting trend that you had to adapt to as well. Now, Grace, when we obviously look at your time there, specifically, you know, while studying, if you now with coming back to Namibia, you obviously, you know, experienced for 5 years a different country, studies and all that. I'm I'm also slightly assuming sometimes you also have spoken to Namibians here in Namibia where they experience university life in Namibia, specifically going to the local universities. But if you look at the knowledge and the skills, and I'm not asking you now to brag, you know, because I'm one of those Namibians that studied in Namibia. But when you look at knowledge and skills, what are some of the takeaways that you've observed specifically about, you know, being trained and having studied in China specifically or in Beijing, like where you were based?
Okay, some of the knowledge and skills, I'd say the work ethics are very, very different. Namibian culture or Namibian work ethics culture is very different from the Chinese work ethics. There, of course, there's pros and cons to everything, but those skills that I've learned from being with Chinese people, working with them, and the way I apply it to my career right now is very helpful. And it's, of course, not to brag, but it does set someone apart. Mm. You can tell the difference in the work environment. Of course, if the person is applying those skills.
Yeah.
So one is the work ethics. And then a skill I don't think most people appreciate is the ability for me to blend and adapt with any cultures, I would say.
Mm.
I can be around any certain type of people and just, blend in like a chameleon. You know,
or do you want to say to be comfortable in?
Yes, to be comfortable in it, and also to even integrate or bridge, or what's the word?
Comfortable.
To be that bridge between the different people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah.
No, it's all good. Did you still wanted to add something on there?
Yeah, I'm saying because I kind of become like a common ground for two different cultures because I don't know how to identify myself or associate myself with one culture.
Mm.
I just become very open.
Yeah, open-minded, basically, yeah. Yeah. And also on that specific, on the next particular talking point, Grace, if we obviously look at the very first start, meaning how did you apply specifically to go and study in China? How did you hear of the opportunity to do so?
My opportunity came to me. Interesting story. So my high school principal, she sort of knew about this China study in China scholarship, the CSC scholarship. So she had an opportunity she was given to recommend some students, and then she recommended me and a couple of my other classmates, and of all the people she recommended, I'm the only one who took up the offer.
Mm.
Yeah, so they called me, and then I went to the embassy and they spoke to me about what the whole scholarship is and what it entails and everything. They told me specifically, you are going to study in Chinese language. And for some reason, that just like sparked more interest in me. So I went ahead and I applied for it and it went through.
100%. Congratulations on that. I know it comes like 5 years later, the congratulations, but yeah.
yeah.
Now, Grace, still on that particular talking point, obviously, you know, on high school, what was your sort of like the academic background? Did you have an inclination more for business subjects, or did you have an inclination more for the humanities subjects or the science ones also?
With my high school, we had to do everything. So I did all science, humans, and even commerce subjects. But I was more inclined to the commerce subjects. I initially wanted to become a chartered accountant.
Mm.
In applying for the school, when I had to apply for my, I had a first option, second option, and a third option.
Mm.
And I think I only had one option, which was economics. and trade.
100%, 100%. Now, getting into the next question, Grace. This year, obviously, this year of 2026 has a specific theme associated to it. This is obviously as China, Africa has a year known as the people-to-people exchanges. Now, the question here is obviously, what is your thoughts or what are your thoughts on the cooperation between Namibia and China in the areas of people-to-people? Specifically, for example, the exchanges, the vocational training, the educational cooperation, and so on. And specifically, you know, what can you highlight from this particular engagement?
I think the people-to-people exchange is a very important aspect in bridging the two communities, Namibia and China. I see how helpful it is that, you know, you come back and you are sort of very valuable in the sense that we have a lot of Chinese people here. And one of the greatest problems is communication. And you sort of become that bridge to show you understand them and they understand you. What I'm trying to say is communication brings that trust with the people. So
yep.
The relationship between the two nations is not by the governments, it's by the people. It's by people like you and me. In just meeting Nicole, I am already a step towards bridging between that exchange between China and Namibia.
Mm.
So I think it's a very important thing to look at and just appreciate how these two communities are integrating
or growing closer, basically
growing closer. Yes.
Yeah.
So not just the exchange of students going to China, but even business people who go to China and business people who come from China, that is helping both communities.
Yeah. Because obviously one of the most important thing is people working with other people, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Grace, if we look at obviously also the other particular talking point that is being celebrated also in this year. So we've got one particular interesting scenario where Chinese President Xi Jinping had elaborated and explained that the principle of China's Africa policy is based on sincerity, to deliver real results, to be, and amity, as well as also acting in good faith. Now, if we look at the world out there, specifically what's currently happening with all the wars that are popping up, which is not making things easier for the other countries and the other societies and civilizations, if we compare this with other countries, what do you think of China's particular cooperation with Namibia through these particular uncertain times?
I think, like I mentioned with the previous question, is that both communities benefit from this cooperation. I mean, if only one part is cooperating, then that means even the benefits are one-sided.
Mm.
Let me say, with my experience, I see that the Chinese companies operating in Namibia are doing far more beyond job creation.
Mm.
There is also potential for like skills and development for Namibians, where Namibians are learning a lot.
Mm.
I have overseen during my time when I was translating between Chinese companies and the Namibians, there was onboarding of so many technical machines from which Namibians can learn from.
Yeah.
And all of this is coming from that cooperation that Namibia and China are willing to work together for both the benefit of China and the benefit of Namibians.
Yeah, because that's also a very good particular, firstly, a good skill to have, the, you know, translation, as well as also, you know, to help with how business to businesses or business to business relationships in that regard.
Yes.
Yeah. And then finally, Grace, if we look at the last particular talking point here for our discussion, if there's anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners, primarily in terms of your experience, your time studying in China, and primarily also looking at the world in terms of how we are building this bigger community between countries like Namibia with China.
Just to add, I would encourage us, not just Namibians, whoever gets the opportunity, the chance to hear this, whoever is listening to this, to explore opportunities. It doesn't matter if it's in China or whatever part of the world. I think it's important to connect globally, mm, because the world is big. It's not just a small corner in Namibia. Mm. It's important to connect globally because it's eye-opening, it's mind-opening. It honestly opens your mind to a lot of better opportunities, lots of ideas. Like, it's so narrowing if you're just thinking within the borders of Namibia, but just having a conversation, having a friend from outside the borders of Namibia it's already very opening to learn the culture of this person or to learn the language. You pick up so much, which helps you in the way that you think, your mindset, which I think the root of everything that we do is all in the mind. So the best way to enrich your mind is to connect, to explore opportunities globally.
Yep, 100%, 100%. And on that note, Grace, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners. So 100% once again, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful evening.
Not a problem. So Grace, thank you once again. So since you and I are done, I just have to wait for Loida. I think she's now 15 minutes away. So yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks again.
All right.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Can I exit now?
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Yep, bye. This has been the China Corner here on your number one talk radio station for this Wednesday evening here on Eagle FM. And on that note, we'll see each other again in the new month.
China Corner was proudly brought to you by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Namibia.